It's the busy season for wildlife rescuers, with the greatest number of injured or orphaned animals coming in during the summer months. But how do you stop baby birds from imprinting on their human caretakers before being released back into the wild? One wildlife center in Longmont has a feathery solution. K1C's Jackie High has more.
In the bird nursery at Greenwood Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, licensed wildlife rehabber Amanda Manoa is preparing a meal of fruits, veggies, kibble, and seeds. Before stepping into the next room, where two young corvids are waiting to be fed, Manoa pulls a black-feathered, beak-nosed Mardi Gras mask over her face. The reason?
We really value things that can help us with the animals not habituating to people.
Research has shown that corvids, a family of birds that includes ravens, crows, magpies, and jays, are extremely good at remembering faces. And if a baby bird imprints on a human feeding them, they might come up to humans for food later in life.
And that's not what we want. We want them to have a very natural existence in the wild.
Manoa introduced the masks earlier this year after reading the studies and hearing about similar programs at other wildlife facilities around the country.
I went to the party store and bought some just super cheap little masks with black feathers. I also wanted to change our face shape a little, so I looked for one that maybe had like a pointy nose instead of just a flat kind of thing.
The masks go on whenever something positive is happening, like feedings, changing bird baths, or anything fun. When staff do something the birds perceive as negative, like administering subcutaneous fluids or West Nile vaccines, they don't wear the masks.
Because we want them to be a little bit afraid of us.
Kaylee Swift, a corvid researcher at the University of Washington, says birds like crows and ravens have a more unique relationship with humans than most other wildlife.
These are animals that are just inherently going to be more drawn to people.
Swift says the ability of corvids to coexist with humans can be a good thing for the species evolutionarily, but at the same time,
if we overdo it, particularly with young birds, then you can sort of cross a line to something that becomes a lot more mortally dangerous for them. And so I think it's really responsible that they are trying to disrupt an overconfidence building by these birds with their human caretakers.
So why are corvids so smart? And how did they get so good at recognizing faces? Swift starts by clearing up a common misconception.
It seems more and more like this ability they have to recognize faces is actually not that special.
Lots of other animals can recognize faces, even bees, for example. But it's also true that corvids are very intelligent.
Their brains have evolved to be kind of similar to ours in terms of their ability for complex thinking.
Older magpies and crows are flapping around an outdoors enclosure at the Greenwood Wildlife Center. As Amanda Manoa walks toward them carrying a bundle of branches, the birds make warning noises, sounding very different from the birds in the nursery begging for food.
And so things that I'm liking already is they're talking to each other, but they're not begging at us, so that's a really good thing for us.
She puts on a mask again just before she brings the branches into each area of the enclosure for the birds to play on.
So that we're showing them. It's a good thing, but it's not being brought by a human.
The crows out here are over 8 weeks old, and so far, their behavior is exactly what Manoa hopes to see.
There's a little bit of a younger crow in there, and he was begging, but he wasn't begging at me. He was actually begging at the older crow. So that's fine. That's good behavior for us. You know, they know they're a crow, and that's what we really, really want.
They'll soon be moved to a larger enclosure to further develop their flight muscles, and then a couple weeks later, will be released back into the wild. Jackie High, KUNC.